tell me about SSVT. What's different about it than what you were doing before you had it?
Well, we're looking at using SSVT as well as, or evaluating them, as well as some other technologies, primarily for leveraging home access to our infrastructure. We've had a very broad and robust remote access program for our teleworkers, for the occasional telecommuters, to leverage their home IT systems to get into our network and do work, be it in a contingency environment or just on a regular telework agreement. Trying to secure, particularly in the increasing demands of the cyber environment that we're in, home computers to be compliant with the federal standards is becoming more difficult and becoming more costly. So we're looking for capabilities, and this is just one that we're evaluating right now, along with the other services and DHS, for what can we use to better secure endpoint computers on the home network such that they can remotely access and do telework. So it's just another implementation of that. This one here uses, as do other solutions, leverages a secure operating system that will boot up on the user's computer, so it uses absolutely no resources on that home computer. Builds up that secure operating system and leverages our virtual private network to get into our infrastructure to actually do work here on our systems. And that's where we're going with it.
Now, this solution and some others that you're looking at, are they totally segregated from the resources on the user's home computer, so there's no potential crossover from either things that the user looks at through the VPN on your network or things that the user might have on their computer that you don't want on your network?
You nailed it. That's exactly correct. You know, trying to, in the current environments, to assure that users have their firewalls up to standard, have their antivirus up to standard, haven't already downloaded various different threats to our network is a major issue. And it would be a cost driver to try and make sure that that's done. Instead, boot up a secure OS that utilizes only the core processing and video requirements on their home computer, does not access their hard disk, and leverage that along with a secure VPN into our network to access back-end resources and virtual sessions inside of our network. That precludes the problem of any threats that are coming in from that home system. Also starts folding into the federal IT environment where we are going into virtual environments and full VDE services coming off of back ends.
Now, this is a USB plug-in, so as soon as that unit is unplugged, then the resources are totally separated from the user's computer. So as long as that thing isn't plugged in someplace where it shouldn't be plugged in, I guess the way it sounds, it can even be plugged in somewhere it's not supposed to be, and it's still separated. There's still not going to be any crossover?
The claim here and what we're evaluating is this is a read-only USB, because you say USB immediately in the federal environment brings grave concern into place. But at the same time, similar solutions are available through other entities that include bootable DVDs that boot up a secure OS as well. So we're looking across this entire space, and you know, this is the evaluation that we're looking at, is that you load the USB on a home computer, it creates that secure environment. Once you remove the USB, the entire environment is no longer on your computer because it's primarily being driven off of that USB flash memory.
Do you have any sense yet of whether a USB solution or a DVD solution or any other type of connection solution is preferable to another, or is it more in the mechanics of how the information is presented to the end user that's important?
Well, again, there's a combination of issues that, you know, we have to carefully evaluate before we declare that we're going to roll forward enterprise-wide with one of these solutions. Security is obviously paramount. But then again, the ease of use and the flexibility of working with our architecture is going to be a key piece of it as well as usability for the end user. But we're defaulting to the secure environment more so than anything right now.
The advantage, it would seem to me, that is that if you go to this kind of a solution, you don't have one of the objections from the end user's point of view when it comes to teleworking, which is I'm a little skeptical because I don't want them to wipe my computer if something happens and they need to pull information back. We're seeing that more in the mobile space than in the home computing space, but it is a concern there. It sounds like that's not an issue because, again, as long as the thing's not connected, there's no overlap there.
And even when it is connected, again, you're virtually using the session. There is no data spillage onto your hard drive. And those are the things that we're going to be checking for in ensuring that, you know, that this compatibility. Because you're exactly right. What about a data spill, you know, whether it be in the mobile environment or into a home computing environment? That represents a significant risk factor as well as a cost factor in terms of cleaning it up. If everything is in the back end of your system, controlled in your environment, it certainly is a lot easier to take care of it from there.
Admiral, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. You've got 100 of these things. How long till you have a sense of what you like and what you don't like about them?
Well, again, we're looking at this device as well as others, and we'll have that classic bake-off. Probably is going to take 3 to 4 months to do that, maybe a little bit longer. And then, again, we have the certification and accreditation piece that can take a significant amount of time. But the goal here is to improve the security as well as the flexibility to our employees to leverage a wide different array of capabilities to get in and do work.